Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. The Ramsey family lawyer thinks authorities may have something on suspect John Carr. The lawyer notes that the Ramseys have gotten email confessions in the past, but this is the first time someone's been arrested. Carr exchanged many emails with a University of Colorado professor, and some of those turned up in today's Rocky Mountain News. In one, Carr writes that he's under federal investigation for child murder and child molestation in four states. Speaking on condition of anonymity, a federal official tells the Associated Press there's no four-state federal case in which Carr is suspected, much less wanted. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says racism and government bureaucracy hampered the city's ability to both weather Hurricane Katrina and recover from it. Nagin told the National Association of Black Journalists that the storm exposed what he calls the soft underbelly of America as it relates to dealing with race and class. In his speech, Nagin also suggests that state and federal officials would prefer New Orleans remain a smaller city. It now has just over half its pre-storm population. The skies over the Bekaa Valley of Lebanon are filled with Israeli drones and fighter jets. Officials in that country say the Israelis didn't launch any airstrikes. However, there was anti-aircraft fire aimed at driving them off. The Israeli military isn't saying whether there were any flights, but officials stress Israel hasn't attacked Lebanon since the ceasefire. An attack on South Africa's HIV policy. This from Stephen Lewis, the UN Special Envoy for AIDS in Africa. Lewis says the government of President Thabo Mbeki promotes theories worthy of a lunatic fringe. South Africa drew criticism for using a conference exhibit to promote natural recipes for treating HIV. The government's health minister and Mbeki have also been attacked for questioning the effectiveness of antiviral drugs. The South African government last year estimated 5.5 million South Africans have HIV. The UN says nearly 20% of the people aged 15 to 49 in that country are infected. And the president says this country is at war, and because we're at war, he strongly disagrees with a judge's ruling that the wireless wiretap program is unconstitutional. The Justice Department is appealing the decision. Bush spoke to reporters at Camp David in between meetings with his economic team. He says those who herald the judge's ruling do not understand the nature of the world in which we live. You are listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Network. Peter Werby here with you, in for Mike, Kathy, and little Molly. They're off on a jaunt, sort of the mice are away, sort of. Hey, Jim, welcome to many of you. Many of you know my show from Detroit, where I'm broadcasting from, and also I've substituted for Mike any number of times. So a pleasure to be with you. If you'd like to join the conversation, 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. I do tend to take more calls than Mike, so you might want to hop on it right now. You know, I was thinking of doing a new feature. I've never done a feature. Oh, yeah, we used to have a feature on the old IE America Radio Network where me and Mike worked and Tom Hartman. It was called Eat the Rich. That's right. I did have an Eat the Rich feature. Figure they're eating us. You know, they're involved in class warfare, and we ought to drive a little bit of it back at them. But a new feature would be sort of the populist hero of the day. Hero, and that's cross-gender, male or female. The populist hero. I was thinking of calling it the people's hero, but that kind of sounds like some commie deal, doesn't it? So the populist. The populist, if you go to the dictionary, I like, dictionary definitions in politics usually don't make it too well. This one really does. If you just go to one of those online, you know, remember when you used to look at dictionaries? But now you go online to a dictionary, and it says populist, or populism, supporting the power and rights of the people. You like that? Supporting the power and rights of the people. Isn't that what this country's supposed to be all about? I know it doesn't seem like that under the Bush regime, but that's what it's supposed to be about, the power and the rights of the people. We want to keep a firm hand on the government because, you know, I love my country, but I don't trust my government. Hey, right-wingers, what happened to those bumper stickers that said that all during the 1990s when Clinton was in? Do you trust your government now? What a pack of saps, huh? Well, let's make Federal District Judge Anna Diggs Taylor the populist hero of the evening. And by the way, if you'd like to send me something, I'm going to be doing the Majority Report all next week and then Mike's show all the week after that. So I'll try to make it a daily feature. But you got to send me something because I never remember these little items like this. I'm going to depend on you. Here is my email address, and also if you want to send me short messages, I'll try to get some of them on the air. calltalkyes@yahoo.com. calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And Federal District Judge Anna Diggs Taylor, the people's hero of the day, for her decision, saying that Bush violated the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act when he ordered the National Security Agency to spy without a warrant on international calls and emails by Americans and foreign residents of the United States. And so this becomes an impeachable offense. He has purposely, willfully broken the laws of the United States of America. So can we say with real conviction, ITMFA, ITMFA? So a lot of you know what that means. Some of you even have pins and bumper stickers that say ITMFA. If you don't know what it means, if you don't mind a little harsh language, be forewarned, it has harsh language. F, okay? There you go. It's ITMFA.com. You can check that out. But if the program that Bush willfully put into practice violated the Fourth Amendment and the 1978 law requiring warrants from a secret court, the FISA court for intelligence wiretaps, well, what the hell else is it other than an impeachable offense? It's got to be that. So, and I just happen to have this kind of antiquated document here. It doesn't really apply any longer, at least according to the Bush regime, because he said, we believe strongly it's constitutional, his program. And get this, always this language, this guy, have I told you yet tonight how much I hate these people? That's a quote from Mike Ballore, you know that. If Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States, we want to know why they're calling. I didn't do a good imitation. If Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States, we want to know why they're calling. That's what he said. So in other words, Judge Anna Diggs Taylor of the United States District Court in my hometown of Detroit, she doesn't, I would say that those who herald this decision simply do not understand the nature of the world in which we live. That's Bush. Bush understands the nature of the world we live in currently. How many people, let's see some hands up there, how many people actually think Bush understands what he is doing, or what kind of policies, I mean, being a sock puppet for these very, very mad people behind him. I mean, he's just as mad as the rest of them, I guess. Apparently, according to him, Anna Diggs Taylor, a United States District Court judge, doesn't understand the world in which we live. She certainly understands the Constitution. She understands the Fourth Amendment. Here's what it says. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And here's the big one. And no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched. And the persons or things to be seized. But the main part of this is, no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. Now, this, I didn't see this. There's an asterisk there. Let me see. It's got to go way to the back of this thing. Except when declared by George W. Bush. I never saw that part of the Fourth Amendment. Did you? Well, it, no. Oh, someone just penciled that in. All right, so we're not going to take that seriously, and neither does Judge Taylor. And what is so important about this? So you got to remember that under the FISA law, the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, for one thing, it was done because of abuses of the Nixon regime, this other criminal, evil Republican regime. And the Fourth Amendment itself was in there. Why? Do you think these guys just sat around? Can you think of anything else, Sam? I don't know. George, can you think of anything else? Well, these were the abuses of this, of the unitary executive, the king, that they revolted against, that they established a new form of government that had written rules that constrained the power of the executive. We learned about that. Remember civics, high school? I mean, even the Republicans must have gone to, back then, I mean, maybe they went out, they could all go to private schools or private Christian schools or something like that. But back then, we all went to civics classes, and they said there's three. And we were so bored with it because, you know, it didn't seem to make any difference. Everything seemed to be, if you will, in balance. But there were checks and balances, and there were three branches of government. We all learned, we had to write that down on a test. And the courts supervised the executive. And it also evaluated the laws passed by Congress. So why in the world, particularly if there is a law permitting Bush's minions to do exactly what he wanted to do, why would he break the law? Why would he assert that Congress and the courts had no ability to stop his warrantless searches? Well, I mean, what other reason can there be other than what he's enunciated? Laughingly, four times around 2000, 2001, he said, my favorite form of government is dictatorship. Of course, as long as I'm the dictator. And they told him, to stop saying this. I mean, he's Ceausescu, the dictator of Romania, that dumb, mean, vicious, vile, undemocratic dictator of Romania until the people overthrew him. So all the Bush administration had to do, if they suspected something was going on, they had to apply for a warrant from the FISA court. You say, wait, what if this is happening? What if they're hearing somebody say, we're going to bomb the joint right now? Well, what they do is they tap it, and then the next day they go down and they said, we tapped this line, and here's why we did. Because it is so, the threat was so imminent, we had to go right away. But we want to get that approved by the courts. It's called the balance of power. Bush is involved in destroying the Constitution, shredding it. This is nothing but pure power. And given the fact that the presidency has always wielded so much power anyways, and the class of people, the ultra-wealthy that the presidents usually represent, do so well for their class. What did Bush call them? In that little speech, and he says, I call you my base, right? Oh, the ultra-rich. Why would he want to move beyond what the power that he already has and presidents already have? I guess solely, as I said, they're all quite mad. We're being run by a pack of lunatics that are able to jerk at least a portion of the population around, fearful of terrorism. Because when you start subtracting everything else, what's there? What's there except fear that they've engendered, that they've created the basis for? That they multiply by the policies that they continue blindly on. One of those blind policies is the war in Iraq. We're going to be talking at the half hour with Anthony Arnold. He's written a book called Iraq, The Logic of Withdrawal forward and afterward by Howard Zinn. That's right. He's one of those cut and run guys. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
"Let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it."
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
This is Comedy Central. William Shatner roast Sunday night at 10, 9 Central. Take one.
I'm William Shatner. Get ready to set your faces to Comedy Central. I'm not reading this.
But you were Captain Kirk.
I was Captain Kirk. I am William Shatner, an Emmy and Golden Globe Award-winning actor.
Try the next line.
The Comedy Central roast. I don't talk like that.
Kirk did.
How's this? Go yourself.
The Comedy Central roast of William Shatner. Join roastmaster Jason Alexander and the biggest names in stand-up as they take their best shots at Big Bill this Sunday at 10, 9 Central.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy. Well, thank you, Mike Malloy. 866-303-2270. New feature here. When I'm subbing for the boys, And tonight's populist hero, Federal District Judge Anna Diggs Taylor, who shoved it to George W. Bush on the question of wiretapping, said he violated the 1978 FISA law and the Fourth Amendment. Actually, I think she, we see in here that also the First Amendment as well. All impeachable defenses, anybody go to itmfa.com. Rude language there, be careful, please. And if you're not a populist supporting the power and rights of the people, what are you but a corporatist? What does a corporatist do? It supports the power and the rights of the corporations. There's another term for that, as I remember. That's called fascist. You know, I was just looking around here. I was getting ready for this show, and my wife said, how many stories do you have? You know, we talk from stories. I said, I don't know. I think about 42. She said, how many? I said, oh, it's just about 12 an hour. So I've done one so far. I think I'm going to have a lot left over. Hey, let's get some calls on the air. 866-303-2270. Janice, real close to my hometown, Southgate, Michigan. Janice, hi. It's Peter Werby sitting in for Mike Malloy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. First, a very stupid question. Where and when can I listen to you in the Detroit metro area?
Well, none of the stations involved would like me to say that, so let me just give you my website, which is Peter Werby. My last name is spelled W-E-R-B-E. Yeah, so go to peterwerby.com.
Okay.
They actually talked me into putting a photograph of me up there, which probably was a mistake, but what the hell.
Are you still there?
I'm still here. I want to hear about you calling Judge Anna Diggs Taylor.
I called her office today. I spoke with her clerk. I had a very nice chat with her. She was really nice and very receptive. And, you know, I told her, I said, I just wanted to give the judge my support and the support of so many people who were so grateful to her. And I also gave her a little heads up that hopefully the judge has contacted people who can protect her, because I've been listening in fits and starts to the right-wing nut jobs, and, you know, they're really stoking the mouth breathers about Judge Taylor, and, you know, she could be in danger.
Well, I think so, and that gives you an idea of the right-wing mentality and what authoritarian personalities they are, because if they don't like a pluralistic society. That, I mean, again, that's what democracy is all about. We learned about the balance of power, and also the plurality of our democracy. That is, that there's different points of view. The fascistic totalitarian mentality that inhabits conservatives, they don't like that. They don't like ambiguities. They'd like to kill us all.
I know. I've got my name on the list at the library for John Dean's new book to read up on that.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say that I knew you when, I mean, we're talking 40 years ago, when we all used to hang out at the artist's workshop.
When we were 5 years old?
Yeah, right.
You're giving
it. I don't know if you remember the castle.
But Janice, here's what I want you to do. This is getting pretty obscure for most people, although I would love to be back in contact with you. So at peterwerby.com, W-E-R-B-E.
Oh, one more thing.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
It will also tell you how to email me. So do that, and thank you so much. I appreciate
you
calling.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Well, I got to look for time. Yeah, we don't have any 1, 2, 3, 4 up here, so it's kind of like dealer's choice. I am the dealer. Let's go to Todd in Augusta, Georgia. Todd, Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. You're on the air. Todd, come on.
I have to say, it's so good to hear you. I used to listen to you years ago. Well, hasn't been that long. Within the last 7 years on EIB, and I used to love it.
Yeah, not on the IEB, on the IE America. IEB is like those right wing freaks. Yeah.
Yes, of course. You wouldn't. That's right.
We were on the IE America Radio Network, Mike Malloy, Tom Hartman, and me, and we broadcast one of our stations, one of our affiliates was in Augusta, Georgia, where you are, and then somehow they blew us off. Probably because we were calling George Bush a liar and saying there were no weapons of mass destruction. But go ahead. We only have about a minute.
That's all I had to say. I love you. You're the best.
Oh, okay. All right, Todd. You know what? I do remember Todd. Todd, hey, thank you very much. All right, one of the things we're going to talk about when we come back, we've got a little bit of time left, is the whole idea of cutting and running. Now, Bush has said, referring to the war in Iraq, he said, couldn't you just, I can't even say that. There's some good people in our country who believe we should cut and run. Isn't that nice? He says, we're good people. In fact, you know, he might not mean us. Now, who in the world have you ever heard say we should cut and run? Me. I say we should cut and run. Absolutely. And there's a long, distinguished history of cutting and running. Dwight Eisenhower cut and ran from Korea. Richard Nixon cut and ran from Vietnam. That was certainly a disgrace. Ronald Reagan cut and ran from Lebanon in 1983. Essentially, George Herbert Walker Bush cut and ran from Iraq in 1991. Remember that? Finished the job, didn't finish the job, got to finish the job. Remember that? He didn't finish the job. And then Bill Clinton, he cut and ran from Somalia in 1993. Now, here is the kind of the difference, and may, I don't know, if it shocks you or what, I support every one of them. So we'll talk with Anthony Arnaud, who wrote Iraq, the Logic of Withdrawal, when we come back on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess. Just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
What's more important to you, a better looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werbe sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Mike Malloy. Peter Werbe here from Detroit. Wow, just looking at my email, I invited all of you to write me, and it looks like a good portion of you have. I forget. I usually do a Detroit show, and a lot of people listening, and I get lots of email, but this is a little overwhelming. If you want to give it a try, call talkyes@yahoo.com. Eventually, I look at everything. I'll try to get some of them on the air. Well, GW, the head of the Bush regime, what Mike calls aptly the Bush crime family, talking about the withdrawal from Iraq, this hellhole that gets worse every day, that now provides a 9/11 by the month. What was the figure? Way over 3,000 for this last month. And he says condescendingly, which is the only way he ever talks to anyone other than his rich buddies, he says, there's some good people in our country who believe we should cut and run. They're not bad people when they say that. They're decent people. Well, here's one of those cut and runners, a decent person and a good person, Anthony Arnov. He's written the book, Iraq, The Logic of Withdrawal. It's got a foreword and afterword by the esteemed historian Howard Zinn. We're reaching Anthony Arnov in Miami, Florida. Anthony, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here with you.
Thanks for having me on, Peter. It's a pleasure.
Well, isn't that nice? He says you're a decent person.
I know. It's really good of him.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, part of the problem is he realizes the vast majority of this country is against him. And each day the lies about Iraq become harder and harder to get past the public. So they have to backtrack. And we see the backpedaling happening every day when it comes to Iraq. Yesterday, the New York Times had a story in which they said, well, maybe we're not going to see a democracy in Iraq. We'll have some kind of alternative political system there. And, you know, the reality is that they're going to define success down to the point where they can try to ride out what is really a disaster that they've created in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Arnov, you're a colleague of Howard Zinn, but from a generation later. Tell us the genesis of the book, Iraq, The Logic of Withdrawal, because actually in many ways it goes back to another generation.
Yeah, the title of my book comes from a book that Howard Zinn wrote in 1967 called Vietnam, The Logic of Withdrawal. And it's sad that 40 years after that book came out, we find ourselves in another illegal and unjust war, having to make a similar set of arguments. And in that book, Howard Zinn made the case that the U.S. should unconditionally, immediately pull out of Vietnam, that if the war continued, it would only bring more disaster to the people of Vietnam and to the soldiers who had been sent to fight that war. And I found myself looking at the situation in Iraq right after the invasion took place in 2003, being reminded of the arguments that Howard had made in that book and being struck by how many people I knew who had opposed the invasion when Bush was trying to ram it down our throats. But then once we went in, felt, well, we can't just abandon the Iraqi people. We have to stay. There'd be civil war or chaos if the United States pulled out.
Yeah, couldn't have
so
that.
Really, I tried to write a book to address those concerns and questions.
Yeah, the book is Iraq, The Logic of Withdrawal. It has a foreword and afterword by Howard Zinn. It's published by the New Press. Now, let's go to, I mean, it's pretty easy, I think, for people like you and I began it, in fairness, and I think to a large extent our audience, understandably, and the American people are so cynical about Bush that it's easy just to be sarcastic, as I was. But there's a lot at stake here, and lives are lost every day. Bush says that if we withdrew, this is his quote, this would be a defeat for the United States and a key battleground in the global war on terror. That's pretty ominous.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, the way that this war was sold was based on a lie, that the idea that Iraq was somehow part of a global threat to the United States or that it was an imminent threat because of its weapons of mass destruction, its alleged connections to Al-Qaeda, its alleged connections to the attacks of 9/11. None of those things were true, and we knew that at the time, the anti-war movement said at the time. But they're holding on to this mantra and claiming that a defeat in Iraq would be a defeat in the war on terror. Really what it would be a defeat of is the United States' desire to dominate the Middle East so that it can control the Middle Eastern energy reserves and resources, which are the world's largest reserves. Iraq has the world's second largest oil reserves. It's in a region with two-thirds of world oil reserves and also a region with most of the world's natural gas reserves. That's what was behind this invasion, a desire to dominate the Middle East and to use it as a staging ground for the projection of power globally. And, yeah, it would be a deceit for that, but it would certainly have nothing to do with combating terrorism. In fact, the United States is employing terrorism against the people of Iraq, and it's fueling anti-American sentiment around the globe, fueling resentment and anger, which increases the likelihood of terrorist attacks and makes us all much less safe.
Yeah, and when you talk about a defeat, do people say it would be, you know, these pronouns are extraordinarily important. Like some people say, it would be a defeat for America. And I guess I don't agree. I mean, that's America, when you think about it, is fairly abstract. What it would be a defeat for? It would be a defeat for the Bush regime. It would be a defeat for the oil companies. It would be defeat for the imperialists who want to project American military power across the globe. It would be a defeat for the neocons that want to keep us involved in unending wars. So that's who's being defeated. It's not
absolutely
America. Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, it would be a victory from the standpoint of ordinary people in this country. It'd certainly be a victory from the standpoint of soldiers, who now more than 2,500 of them have needlessly died in this war. You have the number of wounded is conservatively 18 or 19,000. You've had communities and families torn apart by this war. And there was a recent study done by Joseph Stiglitz of the economic costs of this war. He estimates that if you include the indirect economic costs of the invasion and occupation of Iraq, it's now more than $1.6 trillion. Well, I could think of a way $1.6 trillion could be much better spent helping people in this country and also helping the Iraqi people, which this occupation plainly is not doing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned earlier, and I don't know if you were listening to the broadcast, but I said cutting and running. I mean, I like to take the you know, people's accusations. Like I say, I'm a tree hugger. I can't think of all the things I've always said, but I listed all the cutting and running over the last 50 years or so. Korea, Vietnam, Lebanon in 83, Iraq in 91, Somalia in 93, and I supported every single one of those, and those were mostly Republicans, although Clinton in 93. So in that sense, cutting and running. In other words, you know what I think cutting means? There's something missing there. It's cutting our losses. And I don't know, running. That's, you know, bringing out the machismo. You know, these colors don't run. No, but the blood of our soldiers and the people they shoot at, that does run, and that should be ended.
Absolutely. I mean, basically, the policy of the Bush administration is if you're in a hole, dig yourself in deeper. And, you know, it's not about Republican or Democrat. This has been a bipartisan thing for the most part. And really, we should be putting it in different terms. Bush says that we have to stay to help the Iraqi people build a democracy. Well, we're not helping the Iraqi people build democracy. We're denying them control over their own country and their own future, so we're preventing democracy. And then he says, well, we have to stay to prevent civil war, when the reality is the United States has been fueling civil war, has been encouraging the conditions of civil war in Iraq. So we're making things worse for the Iraqi people, and we're making the world a much more dangerous place in the process. We've fueled a global arms race. Countries around the world are looking at Iraq and have concluded that Iraq was invaded not because it had weapons of mass destruction, but because it did not have weapons
right.
of mass destruction. And so that's fueling a global arms race. It's made the world a much more dangerous place. We're much more isolated, much more hated, and that's a very unstable situation. We see that it's also emboldened other countries around the world to say, well, if Bush can invade other countries preemptively, why can't we? Why can't Russia do it against the Chechens? Why can't Israel invade Lebanon?
Well, one thing that these remaining knuckleheads that still think it's important don't know, I mean, they believe everything they hear on Fox News that we're staying the course, whatever the course is. And I was looking at this report that I've had around for a while back in the Vietnam War that Henry Kissinger quietly acknowledged to China in 1972 that Washington could accept a communist takeover of South Vietnam if that had evolved after a withdrawal of U.S. troops, even as the war to drive back the communists dragged on with mounting deaths. So you have no idea what these schemers in the White House and the Pentagon are up to. They certainly are more devious than what they let out for public consumption. So here was Kissinger. On one hand, Nixon was talking, we will not lose this domino to the communists and all that. In the meantime, Kissinger's just saying, sure. And while the bodies mount.
Absolutely. And in fact, it goes back earlier. By 67 or 68, it was basically clear to many top military officials that the U.S. would be defeated in Vietnam. And they didn't just persist in Vietnam. They spread the war to Laos and Cambodia, and literally millions of people died.
Millions.
And you saw recently a similar maneuver by the United States, where they supported the Israeli invasion of Lebanon as a maneuver to try to shift the kind of pieces of the chessboard in the Middle East. They were in a very bad position in Iraq, and they thought somehow this might help us in Iraq. Of course, that also backfired. But when you realize what's at stake in these conflicts, the price is just enormous.
It is.
Really enormous.
Anthony Arnold, in fact, let me say to our staff in New York, let this go just for another minute or two because I've been yakking too much. I just want to get a final question in for you. What, in realistic terms, I mean, I always say get out right now, get out of the Middle East in general, stop paying Israel and Egypt and all these countries. But when you say the logic of your book, Iraq, the logic of withdrawal, I mean, like everybody on a boat and out of there. I mean, we wrecked the damn country. We owe them something.
I think we owe them reparations. So, you know, I talk in the book about demanding reparations for the Iraqi people. I think they can rebuild their country far better than Bechtel and Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root can. And we have tremendous evidence of the billions of dollars that went into Iraq allegedly for reconstruction going to line the pockets of Bush's cronies. And not going to reconstruction, not going to help the Iraqi people. There's less electricity today, less safe drinking water, less security, less safety for ordinary Iraqis than there was even before the invasion when the country was under sanctions and was still reeling from the effect of bombing and the 1991 Gulf War. So we haven't been helping them. We do have an obligation to them. The first obligation is to get out of there because we're making their lives hell. And then the second obligation would be to help them rebuild their country, but let them do it.
Absolutely.
It's a racist idea, ultimately, that we have to do it for them. The Iraqi peoples can't do it themselves.
Well, Anthony Arnold, thanks for joining us on the Mike Malloy Show. The book is Iraq, The Logic of Withdrawal. It's got a foreword and afterword by Howard Zinn. Anthony Arnov is a colleague of the esteemed historian Howard Zinn. Thank you so much for joining us. The book is published by the New Press. Confound your conservative friends. Actually, it's pretty easy. This will give you all the information you need. Thanks for having joined us.
Thanks, Peter.
We'll be back to get your calls, 866-303-2270. This is Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me and the Jetta. Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
We'll be right back.
That's Eric Clapton's famous tune, Cocaine, on the Mike Malloy Show. Hi, Peter Werby here with you. Let's hear. Didn't he have a little problem with that? I saw him at the 1999 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Awards at the Waldorf Astoria in New York City, and I was there representing a rock station. And I thought, gee, Eric, you look like a dentist. Nothing against dentists. I love them, but just wasn't as rock and roll as he used to look. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit. 866-303-2270. Why did I play that? This little teeny note. And sometimes you see these stories around. They're just so short, and then you think of the implications of them. How wide, large, huge, deep. This says Colombia. Colombia in South America. Park is a victim of the cocaine war. The authorities used American-supplied planes to spray a pristine national park where leftist rebels have grown cocaine, or coca, the ingredient for cocaine. They said they fumigated the Sierra Macarena National Park, where monkeys clamor and seven species of big cat prowl last week, clearing it's 11,370 acres of coca. Local groups promised a court battle to prevent spraying in 11 other preserves known to have coca. Can you imagine what these maniacs are doing? They're taking our tax dollars and they're destroying the environment of Colombia because people are growing coca leaves that a few people in this country want to put up their nose to get a buzz. So millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for another one of these failed wars, the drug war, right? And in the meantime, how many, again, talk about bodies mounting in a war, an insane, endless war, and now a park, a pristine park, falls victim to it along with seven species of big cat and monkeys because we don't want people, oh, man. Let's go back to Miami, Florida, where our guest was. Talk to Stephen. Stephen, hi. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Fine, Peter.
Yeah, hi.
Peter, did you ever see the film, the Al Gore film, An Inconvenient Truth?
I never saw it.
Oh, you well, as soon as that comes out on the DVD, you got to see that.
I believe everything that's in it.
All right, but if you see that, you understand why this nation, as well as other countries, have to go on a crash program of producing electric automobiles. Have you heard about the Tesla Motors electric car?
Well, here's even a better one, a film. I shouldn't say a better one, but one I did see. It's called Who Killed the Electric Car?
All right.
And that'll give you an idea of the possibilities and who's responsible for keeping us on this poisonous substance,
well,
oil.
I would assume big oil.
You got it. Ding.
Well, I was going to get to them. They're the richest terrorist organization on this planet. But I want to ask you, did you ever hear of the Tesla automobile?
I never have. I know
okay,
of Tesla.
I saw Al Schwarzenegger driving on TV. He thought it was great because it goes from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. And that's just one automobile. There's,
you know who
other...
Tesla was, right?
That's correct. That's correct. Now,
what
the U.S. has to do, and I know this sounds like it's something impossible, the U.S. has to go...
Now, wait a minute. This is a car made by the rock band Tesla?
I'm not familiar with a rock band. All I know is the company's called Tesla Motors. It's in California.
Well, these guys haven't had a hit out in a while, though I know they've been touring recently. But go ahead. Well, listen,
right.
Let's do this.
Right. Well,
I want to thank you for all that. I want to go to Lester in Dearborn, Michigan. I was there just the other night. Lester, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing great.
Well, I know that you really despise President Bush, and I am very unhappy with him as well. But in the bigger picture,
yeah,
I think it's a great thing to free people from the tyranny of evil dictators.
So you're saying we should get rid of Bush?
I haven't voted for him yet.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I thought this is what you're talking about. To get rid of evil dictators.
Yes, but it would be nice if we did it in Africa, where there's no oil, instead of, obviously blatantly going after oil reserves and things. But it's a good thing to put American boots on the ground to save people from evil dictators. I believe that.
Well, Lester, are you Where are you at in terms of age of joining up? Are you eligible?
I'm already a veteran. I did 4 years active and 6 in reserve.
Well, hey, you know, I look at some of these battle deaths, and they're 43, 44 years old. If you think there ought to be boots on the ground, go for it, my man. Thank you, Lester. Thanks for joining me. Hopefully you're listening on WDTW in Detroit. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. Get more of your calls. In fact, we're open line for the whole next 2 hours. No guests. We're going to come back, talk about Israel, the economy, and a few other sad things. Back after our top of the hour news.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
This is Comedy Central. William Shatner roasts Sunday night at 10, 9 Central. Take one.
I'm William Shatner. Get ready to set your faces to Comedy Central. I'm not reading this.
But you were Captain Kirk.
Was Captain Kirk. I am William Shatner, an Emmy and Golden Globe Award-winning actor.
Try the next line.
The Comedy Central I don't talk like that.
Kirk did.
How's this? Go yourself.
The Comedy Central Roast of William Shatner. Join Roastmaster Jason Alexander and the biggest names in stand-up as they take their best shots at Big Bill this Sunday at 10, 9 Central.
Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza. The president says this country is at war, and because we're at war, he strongly disagrees with the judge's ruling that the warrantless wiretap program is unconstitutional. The Justice Department is appealing the decision. Bush spoke to reporters at Camp David in between meetings with his economic team. He says those who herald the judge's ruling do not understand the nature of the world in which we live. The Ramsey family lawyer thinks authorities may have something on suspect John Carr. The lawyer notes that the Ramseys have gotten email confessions in the past, but this is the first time someone's been arrested. Carr exchanged many emails with a University of Colorado professor, and some of those turned up in today's Rocky Mountain News. In one, Carr writes that he's under federal investigation for child murder and child molestation in 4 states. Speaking on condition of anonymity, a federal official tells the Associated Press there's no 4-state federal case in which Carr is suspected, much less wanted. The illegal alien population numbers jump. In just 6 years, the number of illegal aliens calling the U.S. home has jumped by nearly 30%. The Department of Homeland Security believes 11 million illegals were in America at the start of this year. That's up from 8.5 million in early 2000. Slightly more than half of them come from Mexico. Many others are from El Salvador, Guatemala, India, and China. California has the largest number of illegal immigrants, followed by Texas and Florida. Federal officials estimate the number of illegals is growing at an annual national average of 408,000. An attack on South Africa's HIV policy, this from Stephen Lewis, the UN Special Envoy for AIDS in Africa. Lewis says the government of President Thabo Mbeki promotes theories, and we quote now, worthy of a lunatic fringe. South Africa drew criticism for using a conference exhibit to promote natural recipes for treating HIV. The government's health minister and Mbeki have also been attacked for questioning the effectiveness of antiviral drugs. The South African government last year estimated 5.5 million South Africans have HIV. The UN says nearly 20% of the people aged 15 to 49 in that country are infected. And New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says racism and government bureaucracy hampered the city's ability to both weather Hurricane Katrina and recover from it. Nagin told the National Association of Black Journalists that the storm exposed what he called the soft underbelly of America as it relates to dealing with race and class. In his speech, Nagin also suggested that the state and federal officials would prefer New Orleans remain a smaller city. Air America Radio News.
Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby in for Mike and Kathy and little Molly. They're off on a jaunt. 866-303-2270. We had a guest last hour, Anthony Arnov, talking about the logic of withdrawal from Iraq. And so we're talking a little about cutting and running. And I said that has a long tradition, that in Korea, in Vietnam, in Lebanon in 83, in Iraq in 91, in Somalia in 93, they all cut and ran, mostly Republicans, Bill Clinton out of Somalia, of course, but that was a poison pill given to him by the first Bush, wasn't it? Also, we were talking about federal district judge Anna Diggs Taylor right here in Detroit, my hometown, ruling that Bush's program of illegal wiretapping is just that, that it violated the Fourth Amendment and a 1978 law requiring warrants from the secret court, the FISA court. And doesn't that make him eligible even more so from impeachment? So if you hear comments on that, that's where it's all coming from. We're going to try to get the campaign financing, the economy, and the aftermath of Israel's war of destruction against the Lebanon, of which kind of universally seen as being lost by Israelis, or at least certainly not having won. I'll tell you about that in a little while. Hopefully we'll get to it. But just a little note before we begin. You know, I often tell people on the Detroit broadcast that I have, and sometimes on this, maybe it's a little presumptuous or pretentious, but I tell people, you know, think critically. And every once in a while, I, of course, find myself not doing that, sort of just accepting. So I was coming into work, and I looked at the gas pump, you know, those signs that tell you what, the big sign tells you how much it is at the pump for regular, $2.79. I said, wow, that's great. Maybe I ought to fill up. I got half a tank, and I paid, I think, like $3.01 for it or something like that. And I thought, wait a minute, what am I thinking about? I always tell people, here's the scam that big oil plays on us. They just jack the price up so that they're raping us at the pump, hurting the poorest among us who depend on cars for transportation the most. And then just when people are starting to get upset about it, they drop it down a little more. And they've been doing that over and over again. So it's two steps up, one backwards, two steps up, one backwards. So here in Detroit area, I think it was up to like 313, maybe even more so. So it's come down 34 cents, and that sounds wonderful, but 279, come on. They're gouging us big time, and it still astounds me that among common people, middle-class people, working-class people, even some poor people, they say, well, you know, they have a right to make a profit and all that. Well, I don't know. I suppose a guy by that logic has a right to break into your house and steal your stuff. Same thing. They're robbing you. And that's who Bush represents, a gang of thieves. That's who we have ruling us. We don't even have a government. We have a 100% racket. Now, I'm cynical enough and have a political philosophy enough that thinks that government always was pretty much of a racket and has been so 99% of the time, and it's probably true about 96% of the governments on Earth right now. But they've been mitigated to some extent in a few countries around the world by popular pressure, by things like the American Constitution and traditions in other countries and what have you. But Bush is returning us to full-scale racket. Just a racket for the rich. Nothing less, nothing more. All right, let me get your calls. All right, I always love to talk to you. 866-303-2270. Yeah, he did say it too fast, didn't he? 866-303-2270 on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe in for Mike. Let's go to Joan in Santa Fe. Man, I love Santa Fe. Joan, hi. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. We miss you here. I remember IE America when you used to broadcast here. And it's a great show. I just wanted to say your remarks about Columbia. I heard, and maybe somebody more knowledgeable can call in and corroborate it, that they're spraying in Columbia. It's in close connection with the United States government. They're spraying to wipe out the small farmers in these coca-growing areas. It really isn't that related to a drug war, although they're using that as an excuse. There is oil somewhere around, and I think it's in those areas mm-hmm. where the coca is grown. I don't know what form the oil is in, how close to the surface or anything, but there is oil.
Well, Joan, actually, what's interesting, I don't know the answer to that at all, but I think it's interesting that it doesn't occur to me, just as it did not occur to you right off the bat, that that's outrageous, that our government would never do anything, would never cooperate with another government in doing that. But immediately, we suspect, given what we know about the Bush regime, that these people will do anything, lie about anything. And, yeah, I mean, there could be any number of reasons why they're spraying these, like what Joan's talking about. We read a report last hour about how American-supplied planes sprayed a pristine national park, destroyed 11,000 acres in there. And so Joan is suggesting that there may be even more reasons Well, part of it, of course, is they want to undercut the base of these leftist guerrillas. And I don't know what the role of the small farmers, the cocoa farmers. Remember, the president of Bolivia, right, was the head of the cocoa farmers in that country. So,
yeah, well, coca has been used for thousands of years in that area, and they don't use it in the form of cocaine. It's in the form of tea, and it's just a standard. It combats fatigue. It enables people to work in the mines without tiring, and it's
they're not as dumb as we are.
No, it's not. It's not synthesized the way, you know, the way when it gets into the form of cocaine. But there is oil there, and there has been a low-level warfare there with even, I understand, American special forces have been fighting there.
I don't know if they've been fighting. They're certainly there as advisors, and we've given them probably a cool couple billion already. Let me just tell you a real little quick story. I was at the World Social Forum in Caracas, Venezuela in January, and I went to one panel about Latin America, and they had some Bolivian Indians there, and they were saying if Morales doesn't do what he's going to do, we'll throw him out just like we did the last couple of presidents. Which
yeah, well, I wish we could get that spirit going.
Well, we need to do it. We don't, you know, there's we I don't know if we have to wait around till 08. I don't think the America and the world can take that. I mean, Bush is going to be the president unless we do something. To January 20th, 2009. But let me finish the story. So there's this panel going, and I'm thinking, man, these guys are really talking. And there were small men with the derbies on, a little native, you know, with the native dress and everything. And then all of a sudden, I notice they're chewing something. So they were chewing coca leaves. I say, no wonder they are talking on and on. Hey, Joan, did you ever, when I used to broadcast on IE America, a couple of times I came out to Santa Fe. I don't know whether you were there at any of the live broadcasts, but it was...
No, I never got to go to those. I always wished I had, but I wasn't able to go at the time. But I remember when you used to come out.
I still have... Who's your mayor now? Is he the same man?
David Koss.
Well, who was it before him? Do you remember?
Larry Delgado.
Oh, Larry Delgado.
Yeah, you were here when Larry Delgado... Didn't he make Peter Werby Day?
He did. I still have that plaque on my desk. That he called it Peter Werby Day.
Peter Werby Day. That was great.
Gotta love it. Thank you, Joan. I'm going to come back to Santa Fe one of these days, I promise.
Well, you're most welcome. Can't wait.
Thank you so. Here's Mark in Phoenix on the Mark Molloy Show. Hey, Mark, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Doing excellent. Thanks.
Listen, I'm a conservative. I'm a right-winger.
What's the matter with you?
Listen. The problem with you liberals is you think that we want to see liberal politicians in office, and the problem is they already destroyed the country.
What?
If you guys had a different party you were pitching, you'd have a lot better luck. But the problem is you're pitching liberals. Nobody wants a liberal. Do you understand what I'm saying? You think Hillary Clinton's going to solve the problems of the world? You're crazy.
I agree with you on that.
And she's your front runner. So you think
wait. Who's front runner?
Hillary Clinton is front runner for 08. You're talking about
for the Democrats. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you think
don't you think that there's a few of us that could think of a better alternative than Hillary Clinton though?
Well, if that's the best you got, then I'd rather stay with these crooked Republicans that we got.
You'd rather stay with a crook, you know.
Well, I'd rather stay with a right-wing crook than a left-wing crook because, look, if you guys had some good candidates, I'd say, well, you know, maybe it's time to convert because, frankly, I'm a little disgusted with some of the things the Republican Party's doing, like the borders. I don't really like this Iraq thing too much. But listen, here's the problem. Now, listen.
Yeah.
You don't have any good candidates.
Well, you know, Mark, let me just because we only got a minute or so left. I think that there's a lot of people that are in the Democratic Party, a lot of liberals, a lot of progressives, a lot of leftists like myself that would absolutely agree 100% with you that we don't have an opposition party. We have another party, and that there has to be stronger, more forthright and programmatic-based candidates. So I don't know. Maybe we're not so far apart. Anybody want to answer Mark?
Peter.
It's 866-303-2270. He says he would switch. We got some candidates, don't we? Anybody want to mention those? Give us a call. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, Air America Radio Network. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Well, Mike Malloy, thank you very much. 866-303-2270. I did say I was going to talk about campaign financing, the economy, and also Israel's destruction of Lebanon. But, you know, I really know my Detroit audience, and sometimes I kind of go off on these half-hour raves and hardly take any calls, but it's always, you know, I don't know you folks that well. Some of you do. In fact, I'm even getting emails from people that I knew back when I was a youngin', and so it's good to get to know everybody. I'm also curious to know what you have to say. So I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to take calls now, maybe talk about, campaign financing, man, sounds like... Well, man, that's kind of boring. We all know, you know, lobbyists all pay for it. But, I mean, I hopefully when I start off on stuff like this, it's a little beyond. I mean, in other words, I hope when I do stuff, it's unique and not what we've heard about 100 times before about how we got to get big money out of campaign financing, although, of course, that's a little bit of it. All right, let's continue on with our calls and go out to Fresno, California and talk to Gloria. Gloria, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. You are on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I'm really hot under the collar that you didn't really get after that previous caller. I don't think he had a problem with Hillary Clinton. I think he had a problem with Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. I'll tell you what, she had more cahooties than a lot of the men I see up there. She actually called out Donald Rumsfeld, and when he said, my, she should have gotten up out of her perch and smacked his glasses right off.
Let me tell you one thing. I'm a little different than Mike. I'm interested in the conservative mind, and sometimes I've done this. I've just like ran right over guys like that really get under my skin and that are just like, you know, right-wing racist or right-wing, you know, guys that are trying to send other young men off to war and what have you. But I was sort of interested in what he had to say, and I don't like Hillary Clinton very well. I don't like the way she votes on a lot of stuff. I think she's someone who's really after power, so I'm no fan of her at all. So I'm pretty, you know, you hate me for her, but it might take some doing for me to get out of the house and vote for her.
Well, it's still early. There's going to be a lot of other candidates coming up, I'm sure. But the thing with the Bush administration is they make these people, like the caller, they're laughing, but a lot of those people are really dangerous. It's a dangerous time for us all right now because what Bush does is turn us against each other.
Mm-hmm, sure.
They watched you. You know, I'm a Mexican descent, so I'm very careful because there's a lot of people out there that automatically see you and think immigrant,
sure,
or, you know, close the borders. You know, and it's real. People are really hateful out there, and it's really disappointing.
Well, you know, Gloria, though, they're really a minority, and I don't know how they've gotten so much power and such a megaphone to overcome the good people of this country that are, I believe, are in the vast majority.
Mm-hmm. All right, but let me tell you a little story that happened to us last weekend. We were pumping gas at the gas station, and a man over the next pump was backing into the gas pump and almost hit another car, and the other guy told him, be careful, he might hit you with his car. And he said, well, I wish he would hit me with that beat-up car of his. And he said, and plus, I'll beat him up because he looks like an immigrant. He said, I hate all non-white people. In fact, he said, I'd beat them up. Well, my husband happened to be putting gas in the car, and he said, well, what, do you want to try me? I mean, this is the kind of thing that, what's going on with America? I mean,
but wait a minute, Gloria. This country has always engendered a sick minority, and we can see that across American history. And the people, of course, that have been the brunt of it have been people of color, such as yourself and African Americans and Asians. But it's also been expanded to other people in other situations. So, and politicians have played on that forever. So, but I think guys like that are sickos, and,
yes,
and I mean, and I think they are a minority, because the majority of us don't even see you and your husband or this other person other than as just, because we don't know you, as sort of indistinguishable from anyone else.
Exactly. And also, another point I wanted to make, Bush always says that they hate us, other countries hate us because we stand for democracy, we stand for freedom, but actually what they've been watching this over the years, and they know that we go into other countries like Honduras and Africa and take everything they have and then leave. So they've been watching us. So now Iran, Syria, they're all watching us. They're not going to take it anymore from us. And I'm really worried one of these days they're all going to turn against us and we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
I agree with you. I think that's completely true. Gloria, thank you so much.
Right.
Here is Pat. Pat's in Oklahoma. Hi, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I have 2 points I'd like to make. One, I strongly encourage people to call Judge Anna Taylor. Her number is area code 313-234-5105. And give her a word of support and thank her. And the second point I'd like to make is that I'm very frustrated. People seem to be just wholly focused on the term terrorism being just an airplane. People
are nuts. You know, Pat, we don't have a very good connection. I got to go to my break, so I know you waited a long time. My deep apologies to you. We got to move into another segment. All right, this is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. Please join us, 866-303-2270. Let's see. I've got 3 cards in my hand. We come back. Let me talk, because this involves Hillary Clinton as well. We'll talk about some campaign financing. Right back. Hang on.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There are 2 kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These 2 bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
The Mike Malloy Show. Because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
I love that one. Thank you, Kathy Malloy. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here with you from Detroit, substituting tonight for Mike. Hey, next week I'm going to be sitting in for the Majority Report, Sam Cedar, and the boys off on vacay for a week. And then the week after that, I'll be doing Mike's show the entire week as well. So get ready for it. All right, I said I wanted to talk about campaign financing. It's usually, don't turn it off, please, please. I hope I'll be able to frame it in some terms more than we usually hear it. Well, the whole idea of big money driving electoral politics, I think gives strength to the argument that I made earlier that government is really a racket. There's not very many people, particularly on the right-wing side, in fact, I would say zero on the right-wing corporatist side, that are contributing money to the Republican Party because of their interest in good government, right? It's a racket, and they know that they have to pay. It's an investment. So when banking or financing or pharmaceuticals or construction or big oil or something like that, when they give millions and millions and millions of dollars to the Republican Party, they know they're going to get it back because they're good businessmen. And so it's an investment. You spend $1 million, you get back $10 million. That's a pretty good return on your investment. It's less true, although it's still true with the Democratic Party. They haven't been getting as much money, but I think you may have either heard through Air America programs or seen yourself how some of the big money's beginning to switch because they realize that the conservative House of Cards is in a terminal state of collapse and probably going to hit the deck. So they don't want to have alienated the Democrats. They want to be able to get their agendas passed by the Democrats as well, and they've always done pretty well. However, there is a little sector of the Democratic Party that has to speak to its base. That's the ordinary people, the middle class people, the working class people, the unions, the people that believe in civil rights and civil liberties and a woman's right to choose, all of that. They've got to throw a bone to us to some extent. So the groups that are involved in promoting those ideas, like, for instance, the unions. I belong to a union, and I'm sure the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, I don't know for sure that our particular union donates money to the Democratic Party, but I suspect so. We didn't do too well with the Communications Act of 1996, did we? But whatever. All right. So we're always indignant. I hear a lot of the hosts on Air America going, unbelievable. This is unbelievable. And I always want to say, come on. It's believable. It's standard. So here's the headline out of Associated Press, reported in Yahoo News. GOP, that's, what is it, the Grand Oil Party? Actually, one time we ran a contest on when I did the syndicated show. I can't remember any. What are the Greedy Oil People? Something like that. But it stands for the Grand Old Party. They planned a $40 million ad push for the House races. And I thought, these scummy Republicans going to buy their way into maintaining control of the House. House Republicans reserved more than $40 million worth of television advertising for the fall. Man, you imagine going to have to sit through that crap. Most of it aimed at holding seats they control, particularly in the Midwest and Northeast, because they're really worried. A lot of these seats are up for grabs. This is not a Republican year. I'm sure Bush, Rove, all those Cheney characters are going to pull something out of the hat at the last moment about terrorism. But maybe they've just cried wolf too many times, like this last non-event. They were going to blow up planes with this liquid, and now they're going to inconvenience us all the more. But see, it acts as a reminder that we're always under threat, and we can't let those pansy Democrats take over, or we're gonna have our planes blown up by liquid. Doesn't matter. That probably wasn't even possible, and that the particular plot was not even advanced to the point where you could actually say they were going to do it. Oh, yeah, what about the guy in Pakistan? Yeah, well, once they start putting needles under your fingernails, you're really apt to say whatever they want, right? And it pretty much was timed, as I think most of the hosts have said, to coincide with the victory of Ned Lamont over the despicable, execrable Joe Lieberman, who now has the backing of 90% of Republicans. So he's a Republican, right? Why doesn't he just run on the Republican ticket? I guess he can't now because this other pathetic character who is getting 6 or 8% of the vote. So what other Democrat is supported by Republicans, eh? So they're going to spend all this money, $40 million, most of the airtime reserve so far is spent to help GOP incumbents fend off Democratic challenges. Now, I thought, man, these guys are awful. But then I realized, a little down in the article, House Democrats, for their part, previously reserved roughly $50 million in advertising time for the fall as they seek to pick up the 15 seats they need to control to win control of the House after a dozen years in the minority. Well, in the New York Times, the Times editorial board was bemoaning all this. And they say a retreat towards Watergate. Because one of the things that Watergate did, that it engendered what they call here in the Times historic Watergate reform of public financing for presidential candidates, is near collapse. And, well, that it could be spread elsewhere. Because, you know, like the McCain-Feingold bill, it's about debt. So they suggest all these other, I was going to read some of them, they're not even worth reading because they don't really get to the root of it. Now, we have a situation. We were mentioning Hillary Clinton before. She has a challenger in the September 12th primary. Probably most people, or more people, let me say, on Air America know the name of the man. A higher percentage of Air America listeners know the name of the man who is running against Hillary Clinton in the September 12th Democratic primary than do New Yorkers. His name is Jonathan Ticini. Now, he has raised about $150,000. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever done any fundraising. I have for a variety of causes, everything from helping people in our community that have suffered great loss up to anti-war marches and pro-choice events and all of that. Getting money is hard. And when someone says, I'm going to give $100, you think, man, that's great. That's real. Thank you. That's a generous contribution. So he's managed to get $150,000. Hillary Clinton has $22 million in her campaign chest. Can you imagine that? $22 million. Well, who's going to win this? Why has, and in fact, they're not even letting, I don't believe, at last I've heard, they're not even letting Ticini on these panels where they're going to debate. So he will not get to debate Hillary Clinton because he doesn't have enough money. The big corporations, and it's not the corporations. It's the Sierra Club. It's the unions. It's just like the ones that back Lieberman. They figure that they would read Lieberman or whoever is in office, Hillary Clinton, they're going to push their agenda. But, you know, it just doesn't work. It's such a scam. A few years ago, the Illinois Democratic, or what is it, the Illinois Council of Labor, some AFL-CIO, that's what it was, the AFL-CIO. I was talking, by the way, earlier. I have no researchers, I have no writers, nothing like that. So everything I'm doing is off the top of my head. If you catch any mistakes, please correct me by calling in or by emailing me. Anyway, AFL-CIO in Illinois spent millions of dollars, as they always do, getting in Democratic Party candidates into the state legislature. They had a 12-point program to support labor. And I didn't say unions. I said labor. That's all working people, all of us that get a paycheck that has to do with working conditions and minimum wage and pensions and everything like that. They had 12 points. So the Democrats actually won at this point, or I think they had come in the majority, and you know how many of their points passed? Zero. You know how many parts in of their program, their 12 points, came even up to the floor? Zero. So what does it all mean? It means that we don't have a government, that we have a racket that's financed by these private interests. It's not bad when the Sierra Club takes its members' dues and tries to save the environment, tries to back people that are at least saying, you know, please, let's not kill everything so fast. You know, not let's have an invigorated environment. Please don't kill everything so fast. We'll settle for that. As opposed to the Republicans, who want to kill everything immediately and turn everything into a parking lot or some big, huge structure or something like that. Or NARAL or some of the, you know, the pro-choice groups. They figure they have to do it because these men, almost exclusively, these men who will easily turn on a woman's right to choose, they figure they got to give them some bucks, or these maniacal compulsory pregnancy people are going to hold sway even more so than they already do. But I'll tell you, it shouldn't have to be like that. It shouldn't mean that the Sierra Club and Audubon Society and NARAL and the United Auto Workers ought to spend the money of our dues, and I belong to a number of those groups, on buying politicians. I forgot what it's exactly like in England. See, here's where I need my researchers. But they don't spend millions and millions of dollars. I mean, they could very easily have a law passed that says, hey, first off, let's have Election Day be a national holiday or a local holiday when it's the primaries. You don't have 18% of the people turning out like they do in the Michigan primary just before. And you set no limit because you allow no private financing of elections. You have a situation in which very easily you give candidates time to, on public television, to debate. And the people that want to hear the debates, they go and they listen to it on their television. Or they go to the, imagine this, coming out in person live to hear a debate, just like the old Lincoln-Douglas debates. That could be done. Get all of the money out. That's the way to end corruption in government. As it stands now, it's going to continue to be a racket. All right. I managed to talk my way through this segment. I do want to get to many of you who are patiently waiting. Look at some of these times. I want to get you on the air. Peter Werbe here in Detroit, Michigan, broadcasting for Mike Malloy. We'll continue with the show if you'd like to dial us up. It's 866-303-2270. Email calltalkyes@yahoo.com. My website, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E. PeterWerbe.com. Right back with more. Get your calls after these.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Comedy Central, William Shatner roast, Sunday night at 10, 9 Central, take one.
I'm William Shatner. Get ready to set your faces to Comedy Central. I'm not reading this.
But you were Captain Kirk.
Was Captain Kirk. I am William Shatner, an Emmy and Golden Globe Award winning actor.
Try the next line.
The Comedy Central roast. I don't talk like that.
Kirk did.
How's this? Go yourself.
The Comedy Central roast of William Shatner. Join Roastmaster Jason Alexander and the biggest names in stand-up as they take their best shots at Big Bill this Sunday at 10, 9 Central.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Oreck XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Oreck XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Just getting tons of email. I haven't read much of it. Here's one. We were talking earlier about Hillary Clinton. I said I didn't think much of her as a presidential candidate. And Malachi or Malachi, I've actually heard it both ways. He said, how about Russ Feingold? What do we need as a candidate of the left? Most people, when you poll them, they come out with left opinions. They want a national health program. They don't want wars. They want fairness. They want a woman's right to choose or and all that stuff. And if someone would run on that and run a forthright campaign, they wouldn't have those small percentages that the Bush crime family, let's use Mike's phrase, would be able to steal the elections. Because when they're so close like that, all they got to do is steal a few hundred thousand votes in Florida or in Ohio, and they got it. This, I thought, was extraordinarily interesting. There's a man named David, either Ike or I even saw it as Ake, I-C-K-E. And let's see, Bill writes in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Says he has very eccentric views. He claims that George W. Bush, the British royal family, and most world leaders are not human. Rather, they are reptilian angels hell-bent on dominating the human race. Also, they must drink human blood to maintain their metamorphic state. He claims if you pay close attention to videos of them, you can see their eyes as reptilian for brief moments. And Bill says, I feel that calling someone crazy is the height of arrogance because it is an abandonment of any hope of understanding. But he says, this guy, Ike or Akey, is crazy. You know what, Bill? I don't know, man. Look at their eyes. He may be onto something. I don't know much about him, though. Here's Mary in Canton, Michigan. Mary, hi. It's Peter Werby for Mike Malloy. You're on the air.
I'm glad to hear we got another left-winger on the radio in Michigan or Canton area.
Hey, I was
I'm sorry. It sounds like I just crawled out from underneath a rock, but where are you? What number are you on the dial, and what time are you on?
You mean, are you listening to WDTW in Detroit?
Yeah, I'm on there right now. Yeah,
okay.
I listen to Air America all the time.
Oh, you want to know where I'm on in Detroit?
Yeah, where you're on.
Well, here, I would say neither station would like me repeating the other dial position.
I'll have to look on your website. Right?
All right. My last name is Werbe, and it's peterwerbe.com. That's got it all for you.
Okay.
I thought
Mitch Albom was the only lefty we had around here, you know.
You think Mitch Albom's a lefty?
I consider him, well, for this area he is, you know.
Wow.
I'm in Republican country out here in the 11th District, where Tony Trupiano's running.
Tony Trupiano.
Yeah.
People should go to thetonyshow.com, and Tony Trupiano is running. First thing he's going to do when he's elected, when he beats Thaddeus McCotter, is going to file a bill of impeachment against George W. Bush for high crimes and misdemeanors.
I know. I'm an activist out here, Democratic activist.
Okay.
But the reason I called is I like Hillary Clinton, but I know she is not electable. And my question is, why do all the Democratic men dislike her so much? I think she is very brilliant. I watch her on the Senate hearings, you know, on C-SPAN, and I'm telling you, she blows those men away with her intelligence.
It's not a man thing. It's not a woman thing at all. I mean,
women like her. Most of the men, the Democrats that I've spoken with, definitely do not like her. They pick her apart. They say, I guess they think she's too abrasive, too aggressive. There's something in her personality
I mean, I like strong women. I like strong women. I like strong people. I like people that are forthright. Look at her stance on the Iraq War. Well, suddenly she's kind of changing a little, you know.
Right. A lot of people do hold that against her. That's true. She won't take a position. It appears, on the war. She's afraid to say anything. I mean, anybody who's anti-war is just torn apart by the right-wingers, you know. And
but there's not that many right-wingers. And the vast majority of people in this country now are against the Iraq War. They know that Bush lied us into the war. We come from a state, Mary, remember, where both of our senators, Senator Stabenow and Senator Levin, voted against that war.
I know that. I know they did. Hillary Clinton didn't. She voted for the war. That's what everybody's got against her. And she won't admit that she made a mistake.
Well, politicians rarely do. Mary, thank you very much. Let's go to Miami. It's Robert. Robert, hi. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How's it going, bud?
Good. Just a couple minutes, so go quick.
Well, it's going to be really quick. The Ramsey situation. You got a mother who for 10 years was being convicted. Well, right before she passed away, she was a suspect to her daughter's killing. Supposedly, she got these email contacts. Okay. What person? Forget one mother. What person in this world is not going to contact the FBI? Why are we not going to know immediately about that? Number one. Number two, if this guy's in Taiwan sending emails over here to a mother about a murder and a rape of a daughter, why is it the wiretapping? Why aren't these people, why isn't the system of Bush's working? Picking it up.
Well, actually, it says up here on the screen that you were talking about this Ramsey case as a distraction.
Of course it's a distraction. All of a sudden, my point is, I hope people don't swallow that this, I mean, none of these talk radio shows, none of us are talking about this, except me right now, I'm sorry, but the TV, every channel is talking about the Ramsey situation. Who cares about that? I mean, I'm sorry. 10 years ago, I am so sorry that the little girl died. And
yeah, well, if you think about it, Robert, though, it's all those cases. I can't even remember the names of them all that they... Yeah, the guy that killed his pregnant wife and all of that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the supermarket tabloids. But, hey, Robert, isn't it just another reason for turning off the television, grabbing a good book or a magazine?
I'm in my car listening to you right now. I'm in my car wasting gas. I have to go tomorrow, pay $3.05 to avoid that crap they feed me.
Uh-oh, come on to Detroit. We got it for $2.79. Look, this segment's over. So we're going to come back with the third hour of the Mike Malloy Show. We're going to talk about Israel's war of destruction in Lebanon, tell you how the Israelis are feeling about it. Like everything I'm going to say, it's really echoing the Israeli and Jewish peace groups. And if we get a chance, the economy as well. But join me. Got some lines. Ooh, do we have open lines? Well, write this down. 866-303-2270. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Stay around.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Thank you for calling for your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can try Proactive Solution risk-free and it'll make my acne disappear. Sounds a little too good to be true to me.
Oh, no catch. We're so sure that Proactive Solution will give you beautiful, healthy-looking skin that we're going to let you try it risk-free just to prove it.
Okay, but I've tried a lot of different things for acne before and they always make my skin itchy and flaky.
Well, that's why Proactive uses soothing spa-quality botanicals along with prescription-grade acne medicine to heal, hydrate, and soothe your skin while eliminating bumps and redness. Oh, there's one thing I didn't mention.
A catch, right?
We're also going to give you a free refining face mask with your risk-free trial.
Wow, it's free?
To get your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution and free refining face mask, call 1-800-426-0651. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-426-0651. That's 1-800-426-0651.
Air America Radio News,
I'm Jeff Weiser. A top Al-Qaeda leader has reportedly been arrested by Pakistani authorities. ABC News says the man, Mateer Rehman, might be able to provide key information on the location of Osama bin Laden and militant Islamic cells around the world. The network says Rehman was arrested by Pakistani police from leads gathered in the probe of the foiled plan to blow up U.S.-bound commercial flights from London. ABC reports that U.S. intelligence officials remain skeptical of the report and cannot confirm his arrest. Richard Shire, who ran the New York City Office of Emergency Management on September 11, 2001, says amazing progress has been made in identifying victims of all disasters and crimes because of progress made after September 11th. Shire calls New York City's medical examiner one of the unsung heroes of the World Trade Center attack aftermath.
They had probably one of the toughest jobs that needed to be done, and they did it in a way with sensitivity, with understanding, and with tenacity. That up till this day, there's still going to be new science developed on victim identification because of the work they did. And Charlie Hirsch, you know, the chief medical examiner, from the very beginning, understanding that this was different from anything we had ever faced before.
Because of the improvements in DNA technology, now 5 years later, Shire says criminal cases are being solved faster all around the USA. President Bush came away from a huddle with his own economic advisors to declare the nation's economy is solid and strong. And Bush credits the upper income tax cuts passed during his first term for creating the economic growth he sees. The optimistic view came one day after the Congressional Budget Office forecast that the federal deficit will be $26 billion larger next year. And the Democratic National Committee quickly countered the president on the economy, arguing that wages have stagnated and left families struggling to meet higher health care, fuel, and energy costs. The Republic of Turkey will provide support for the International Peacekeeping Force being assembled to support the ceasefire in southern Lebanon. Turkey is opening seaports and airfields to help with the movement of the troops and supplies to the region. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Hi, Peter Werby in for Mike and Kathy and little Molly. They're off on a jaunt. I'll probably tell you all about it next week. 866-303-2270. We're all open lines, so if you want to call us, like to get you on the air. If you want to email me, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I have not been very good about reading your emails, have I? But we've been talking about lots of stuff about cutting and running from Iraq. I think it's a great idea, and there's a terrific history of it. Korea, Vietnam, Lebanon, Iraq in 1991, Somalia 1993. Good idea to cut and run because not so much running, but the idea, it's the cutting. You're cutting your losses. We're cutting our losses, particularly of lives. And maybe, and if you start thinking about the totality of how many lives are being lost, of the Iraqi lives. And people say, well, if we took off now, they'd have a civil war. It sort of looks like one now. And they're losing a 911 every month now. And you say, well, it could get a lot worse. Well, whose responsibility is that? It's right at the feet of George W. Bush, who lied about why we were going into Iraq, who had this grand scheme. These guys, if they're so rich, how come they're not smart? But one of the things that never happens to these SOBs is they never pay the cost. They never, certainly never pay the cost physically. They never pay the cost materially. They never pay the cost politically either. They're always back on their feet. All the monsters that created the Reagan policy and the Bush policy in Central America that in the 1980s that wound up with hundreds of thousands of peasants dead because of their policy, they're all back in the Bush crime family. They're back in the regime, aren't they? All right, I said before we get to our calls, I was just going to talk quickly about the economy. You know, why is this stuff like buried away in the New York Times, probably not even in the local paper, but it says, and like, you know, this is headline writer stuff, brighter 06 deficit outlook, but long term looks grim. And usually thought of, you know, by talk show hosts, you start talking about the economy, it's kind of boring and people are going to turn off. But it seems to me that this is key. I mean, economic reasons drives almost everything. That's why we're in the Middle East. It's oil, and oil is about what? It's not about anything else other than money, profits, driving the system. But here's what it says in the New York Times on the 18th. Is that today? I've actually even lost track of it all. The federal budget deficit will shrink this year to its lowest level since 2001, but the fiscal outlook for the next 10 years is as bleak as ever. Well, what commies said this? Oh, it's the Congressional Budget Office. The budget office estimated the deficit for 2006, the fiscal year, which ends on September 30th, at a mere $260 billion. That would be $58 billion less than last year. But remember this scam, $112 billion less than the agency estimated in March, so they pumped it up so it looks better. But still, we're in debt. We're spending more than we're taking in. And all you have to do is get the imagery of you as an individual, or if you're the breadwinner in a family or one of the breadwinners, you know what happens when you don't have enough money to cover your expenses. You start borrowing. You jack up it up on your credit card, and you start owing money to bankers. Well, we owe money to bankers, and a good portion of it is Chinese bankers. And, you know, in a way, maybe I shouldn't even go there because there's a certain, well, I hear people say that. Now, I mean, I just thought of this as I started to say it. I've said it before. That people note that it's Asian banks, Korean and Taiwanese and Chinese, Japanese banks. And I think it kind of plays to a racist note. That is that these yellow people have our, you know, have us in their debt. Well, we also have money out to London bankers and other places as well. And what it essentially means, though, wherever the banks are located, we are paying debt service on the interest, we're paying debt service on the loan, we're paying interest on the loan. And you know that from your credit card. And it means then that every time you earn something, you don't get the full benefit of it, forgetting even about what's sucked out in taxes for the wars and all that, but you have to pay the interest on the money that you already owe. And the same thing is true now nationally. So when you look at your paycheck, 25% is gone, 30% is gone, 20% is gone, whatever it is, you know a portion of it, as it should, is not going back to your state, your neighborhood, your community, for roads and teachers and schools and all the AIDS programs and national health program and all that, but it's going to a bank because Bush drove us into debt. He got a surplus. You've heard this 1,000 times on Air America. Why isn't this the biggest scandal of it all? I love this phrase from a French philosopher named Baudrillard, who said, the only scandal is that there is no scandal. Why doesn't this mean that there are millions of us out in the street? There's oftentimes a million of us around wars, but ultimately we're being looted. The money that we earn, our lives, we're inside of shops, we're inside of offices. Sometimes we enjoy our jobs. Usually we don't like to be there 40 and 50 hours a week. But to think that 2 hours of it, 3 hours, 5 hours, I have no idea. That'd be interesting if somebody put it all together. Is because George W. Bush mismanaged the economy. He didn't mismanage it in our terms, because we've got to pay for his mistakes. Like I said, he'll be a rich man all his life. But this all eventually goes to buddies and people in his class. All right, so let's see. Donald B. Marin, who's the acting director of the Budget Office, described this as sustainable. The idea that we owe lots of money and that we owe debt service, of which you, the taxpayer, me, the taxpayer, pays. That's sustainable. Pardon me. Well, sustainable for him. He's undoubtedly a rich guy. If you're in the Bush administration, you're in the Bush crime family, you're wealthy. So it doesn't matter how badly you screw up in wars or finance or whatever. You always land on your feet. You're in business, you screw up. Cheney screwed up. Bush screwed up in business. You know, I've often used this expression, so excuse me if you've heard me say it before. But it's like these rich kids when I went to Michigan State University. You know, if we did something, man, we're kicked out. Just, you know, it was much before the permissive era we have now. But these kids who were riding around in these convertibles and wearing cashmere sweaters, they would wreck their cars, they would get drunk, they would get in fights, they would destroy stuff, they would, as they used to say then, knock their girlfriends up, and boom, they'd be back in class the next day. Same thing with these Republicans, these rich conservatives. No matter how badly they screw up, even when they break the law, they're back in the next administration, or they're sucked into some think tank or something like that. All right, the rest of our money. Where is it all going? In fact, if you ever did this, and I do this, I mean, I don't ever assemble it, but I do it in my mind, where I see the expenditures that the Bush crime family makes, and that I realize coming out of our taxes, and it ain't going to us, the people, where it came from. It's not for projects that that we can't do ourselves, but it's going to their buddies, or now, of course, I said, overseas banks in many ways. Here's one little thing. Is actually, this was about Hezbollah taking care of the reconstruction in Lebanon. The Bush administration provided $30 million in relief aid in the midst of the war to Lebanon, but got little credit while it was doing nothing to stop Israel's bombing. I mean, it was doing nothing to stop Israel's bombing. The main thing was it was providing bombs and gave the go-ahead, signed off on Israel's attack on Lebanon. Last week, Washington committed another $20 million, and officials say they'll pledge a lot more at a conference at the end of the month. So we supply Israel with the weapons of war to totally destroy the social fabric and infrastructure of this country. Billions of dollars that we've given Israel for war. We've essentially given Israel our national health program. Me, I'd rather have a national health program than give Israel F-16s. Because then they wouldn't do what they do, and maybe they'd have to make some settlement on the basis of justice with the people in the region, and particularly the Palestinians. So all of this money comes from us. In fact, the language, where did I see that? Because I thought this was, I'm always interested in the way that language is utilized in the paper. Hezbollah is financed by oil-rich Iran. Hezbollah is financed by oil-rich Iran. I wrote in the margin, Israel is financed by taxpayer-rich U.S. That kind of evens it out. Or maybe we ought to do some other way to even it out. And nobody give weapons of war to other people. Of course, that would kind of injure an extraordinarily lucrative part of the American economy. The fact that we create weapons and weapon systems, we use it in Iraq, we give it to other people, we're one of the, what, are we number one? Yeah. What are we number one in? We're number one in supplying arms to people. Wouldn't want to cut back on that, would we? All right, I'm going to go to my phones, your phones too. 866-303-2270. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby, and I will be right back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Mike Malloy.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Okay, and you're also listening to Led Zeppelin. Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby here with you from Detroit, 866-303-2270. Getting inundated with mail by why people do not like Hillary Clinton, but I'm going to get, actually we got a caller who's going to talk about that. I was talking about the economy and how we're spending more than we're taking in. We're in debt. We're going to have to pay that off just like we had a credit card. Thank you, George W. Bush. But I wanted to just go a little bit deeper into it, what we could be spending money on. This is, you know, you find stuff tucked away that makes the larger points. Cancer Institute's new chief talks of cutbacks. A surgeon who was appointed by President Bush this week to lead the National Cancer Institute said Wednesday that they had great hopes for finding new non-toxic cancer drugs, but that given a shrinking of resources, some of the Institute's programs would probably have to be phased out. In the interview, the appointee, Dr. John E. Niederhuber, said that Mr. Bush's limits on federal financing of embryonic stem cell research was acceptable for now, but that they might someday slow cancer discoveries. Well, do you think? But it kind of goes on about it. The more pressing question is how the Institute will adjust to a changed fiscal outlook. Through 1998 to 2003, spending at the National Institutes of Health doubled. In recent years, however, budgets have flattened, and since expenses have risen, cuts are needed. So take your choice, folks, particularly you conservatives, war or cancer. You can't have them both. Actually, you know what I'm saying? I'm posing that wrong, aren't I? There's your choice, peace and health or war and cancer. Because war, although it's sucking all the money out of budgets like this for cancer research and other aspects of our health, including a national health program, it's sending lots of money to the arms manufacturers and to Halliburton and Bechtel and all of that. So that's your choice, really. All right, let's go to Michael. Michael's on Long Island. I think he's going to do some of the work I should have been doing. Michael, hi, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Why do the Dems hate Hillary in New York?
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Doing great.
I'd say I can only speak from my own experience, but first off, Hillary Clinton had, first off, she didn't have much of better much of a Democratic voting record. First of all, another thing, she's beholden to two corporations. She's beholden to Walmart, and she's beholden to the Fox News Corporation.
Yeah, to the, what is it, not the Fox, what's it called, the News Corporation. Yeah, she's buddies. In fact, I was, who's at Tom in Madison, Wisconsin, who was giving me nine reasons how terrible she is, and one of them is that she's buddies with Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch, yeah, she took money from Rupert Murdoch. He gave money to her, and she sat on the board of directors for Walmart. So once I heard that, I can't vote for her anymore. She sat on the board of directors for Walmart and didn't make anything better for them. And I'm a union guy, so I'll tell you, Walmart is the thorn in my side. Walmart makes me itch. Every time I go near one of those buildings, they kill me. So I want to vote for anybody but Hillary. I do.
Okay.
But the Democratic Party doesn't give us the choice of voting for a real Democrat or voting for a real Republican. We're always voting for a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, I have to tell you that I'm pretty cynical about the party. I think that there's enough interesting people, certainly around me. We mentioned Tony Trupiano here in the Detroit area in the 11th district, and Nancy Skinner out in the 9th that has a good chance of unseating some Republican reptile, with all apologies to our reptilian friends. Michael, thank you very much. I appreciate you calling 866-303-2270. Some of the other points that Tom from Madison made in his email to me. Hardline statements about Iran. Let's see if I can go down here. She had breakfast, 100% support for the destruction of Lebanon by Israel. He says she appears to be a female Lieberman. Well, they're buddies, right? You know, she's not in the liberal wing of the party. Neither was Bill. It's all kind of, we've mythologized that, these great liberal icons, Bill and Hillary. I don't think so. If you go back and look at his voting record, Limbaugh in the 1990s said, the Clintons have stolen all of our programs. Let's see. This is Kathy from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hillary's for the death penalty. That's a deal breaker for me. And she says not all women like Hillary. I'll vote for her if she's the Democratic candidate, but I don't like her. All right, let's go to our phones here. It's Sue in Cambridge, Wisconsin. Hi, Sue. It's Peter Werby for Mike Malloy. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good job.
Thank you. I've enjoyed
the show all night long.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. I'm Feingold all the way. I did like Hillary until all of this. But I think Feingold is really the man to go for. I think that he's very right out there.
He is. And I think that someone could win being right out there. And a number of emails have come in saying that Russ Feingold would make a principled candidate, a candidate that can actually say he's progressive, that wouldn't just be giving in to all the consultants to say, well, you know, you have to... ride in a tank or, you know, shoot skeet or whatever kind of silly stuff they got these Democratic candidates doing. We're going to take a break right now. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back. I want to talk a little about what the Israel's destruction of Lebanon has portended. It ain't good. People in Israel aren't very happy with it either. Peter Werby here with you on the Mike Malloy Show. I'll be right back after these messages.
Foolish people.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh.
Uh-huh.
The new owner of your Jetta, man, your old GLI 2004, you traded it in. I bought it in October last year.
Right.
Dude, it's such a great car.
Wait a minute. That red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Is this weird that I'm calling you?
No, I'm working right now.
It's just when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected.
Okay.
You love the Jetta, now I love the Jetta. It's just like we're a family. We should hang out. You, me, and the Jetta? How about I give you my number, you ring me when it's good? Do you have an email?
Volkswagen owners really love their cars, but sometimes they have to let them go. Then we pass them on to you. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture-tested my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Orrick XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
This is Comedy Central, William Shatner Roast, Sunday night at 10, 9 Central, take one.
I'm William Shatner. Get ready to set your faces to Comedy Central. I'm not reading this.
But you were Captain Kirk.
Was Captain Kirk. I am William Shatner, an Emmy and Golden Globe Award-winning actor.
Try the next line.
The Comedy Central Roast. I don't talk like that.
Kirk did.
How's this? Go yourself.
The Comedy Central Roast of William Shatner. Join Roastmaster Jason Alexander and the biggest names in stand-up as they take their best shots at Big Bill this Sunday at 10, 9 Central.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
We got Peter Werby sitting in for Mike Malloy, and our number 866-303-2270. I want to give a shout-out to Ward. He's listening in Kashima City, Japan, with the World Wide Web. Wow, certainly is World Wide Web. But it reminded me of this one story I took out of the news. You remember the Prime Minister of Japan, Junichiro Koizumi? He visited Bush, and then they went down to Graceland, and he was this like mega Elvis fan, Koizumi was and is, and started like performing, and Bush actually had to kind of tone him down a little. Well, isn't that cute? But a typical fascist buddy of Bush, here, this little news item. Ignoring protests at home and abroad, Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi visited a shrine memorializing Japan's war dead Tuesday, including the convicted war criminals from World War II. And a few hours later, a possible arson fire burned down the home and office of a lawmaker who has criticized the leader's pilgrimage. Because the whole right wing goes to this Yasukuni shrine where these war criminals are interned, and to be sure that they have other war dead there. But Japan does not have an admirable history of military use of its troops. So in any regard, going there to pray is just giving green tea to the fascist right in Japan. And you remember when you got to remember, when these fascists are defeated, they never see it as permanent. So it's true, whether it's in Germany or Japan, Spain, wherever, they didn't get taught a lesson with World War II. Fascism still has an allure to them, to be sure. Now let's just talk a little about Israel and what it did to Lebanon. Absolutely heartbreaking when you see these mass funerals that are going on. Here's one reported by the Associated Press in southern Lebanon. The breeze blew fine dust across graves where 29 people killed in an Israeli airstrike, half of them children, were buried. You know, it's funny how Hezbollah and these other groups are thought to be these, you know, the other, with a big capital O, these people with no regard for human life that that are willing to, without a stroke of conscience, kill innocent civilians. Whereas Israel has killed so many more children, so many more women, so many elderly than Hamas and the PLO and Hezbollah put together. But one of the things that supporters, and I shouldn't even say supporters, because they really are apologists, very frequently they're very liberal people, often Jewish Americans who are very liberal usually, but they have a blind spot when it comes to Israel that can act as fascistic as possible, do every cruel deed imaginable with the technological weapons of war provided by us, the American taxpayer, and they've always got an answer. Now, what's the difference here? What's the difference between Israeli dead and Lebanese dead? Well, here's the deal. Hezbollah targets, or at least randomly just hits civilians. In fact, that's their intent with things like suicide bombings, where Israel does not intend to kill thousands of people as it has in the past. Well, I got to tell you, if your kid gets killed, the intent does not mean a damn thing to the parents or the neighbors or the relatives or the villagers. And it's true in Israel. It's true in Lebanon as well. Now, this is an interesting article. And by the way, again, I can't believe that someone actually called up once and called me anti-Semitic. There is nothing that I am saying that is not said by Israeli peace groups and Jewish peace groups in this country. And if you go to my website, peterwerby.com, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerby.com, and there's a photograph of a destroyed city in Lebanon. Courtesy of us, we paid for the bombs, we paid for the planes. And you click on, you can click on that, and you go down to the bottom, and there's about 10, 12 Jewish peace groups, Israeli peace groups. So everything I'm saying, they say. And unless you want to go with this BS about their self-hating Jews, forget it. Returning home to ruins, shock is mixed with outrage, says a New York Times report. This is what we've sown, we the people of the United States, by allowing this criminal cabal in Washington to sign off on this absolutely unnecessary, unwarranted, and illegal war that Israel carried out. 4 hours after the ceasefire with Israel started Monday morning, Dr. Abdel Munayim Mansour stood staring in disbelief at the mountainous hash of rubble that was once the apartment building where he lived. This is a middle-class man. This is an, in fact, somewhere in here it says it's an elegant, they call him an elegantly dressed couple. So they're upscale. Here's what Dr. Mansour said. In fact, he didn't say it. He shouted it, his voice cracking with rage. We will kill every American for this. Every Shiite Muslim will kill Americans. We'll grind them under our shoes. He didn't even say Israelis. He's talking about us. I know some of you are listening in other countries. A lot of Canadian listeners tonight, I know. He's talking about us in the United States, this unbridled hatred for us, the paymaster of Israel, the arms dealer that gives every weapon used to destroy that country provided by us, you and me, the taxpayer. And this is why we become less safe, not more safe. It goes on. Dr. Mansour and his wife, Sanin, an elegantly dressed couple who work at a nearby hospital, stumbled on through their old neighborhood in a state of shock, seeming almost not to recognize the charred and shredded landscape around them. They had returned after weeks of exile in the relative safety of the mountains to the capital's southern Shiite district. Among the couple, thousands of others streamed back on Monday into the ruined streets where smoke and the smell of rotting flesh rose from the rubble. It goes on. Some cursed America and Israel and swore revenge. Others simply wept. Think about this. I've tried to, and it's almost impossible to imagine this in our neighborhood. The Israelis can now, because usually the extent of the attacks aren't much more than horrible pinpricks. Horrible because they lose life. Their civilians wind up bombed in the same way that the Lebanese have, that the way the Palestinians have. Remember that suicide bombs, that these Katusha rockets are the poor man's F-16s. If Hezbollah had jet planes, if it had tanks, would use those. It's all very horrible. It's all very horrible. And to think that now that the standard bearer in Lebanon is something that calls itself the party of God, and on the other side you have these people that have this sense of entitlement to a land beyond their borders, is nothing but a prescription for this going on and on and on. You know, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, lives in London, maybe listening right now, although, damn, it's pretty early in the morning. Of course, maybe getting up. He was in a Shiite village in southern Lebanon on September 11, 2001, and he wasn't going there for any political purpose. He was writing a column on Lebanese cuisine and wine. That's what he does. And when he found out about what, and they had big posters of Ayatollah Khomeini from the Iranian. And when they found out what had happened on September 11th, and given what the Lebanese had experienced at the hands of Israel, and they know again where they get where they get the weapons from to attack, they said, they came up to him and they said, "We know how you feel." They said, "We know how you feel." They didn't say, "Now you know how we feel when you bomb us, when the USS New Jersey lobs shells into our neighborhoods in 1983 and what have you." They said, "We know how you feel." They empathized with us. They had compassion for us. They knew how we felt. The only good I could imagine coming out of this is the Israelis, particularly those in northern Israel, will now know how the Lebanese feel and will press their government to create a solution that will be lasting, that will recognize everyone's rights, that will have justice for the region, which is the only thing that will bring peace. In another article, the Israeli government estimates that the fighting cost about $1 billion in damage and in lost tourism and business days. Israel's largest newspaper reported that another $2.3 billion was spent on the war itself. That's all courtesy of you and me. Or if it's not, if some portion is from their national budget, what is that all about? And what a mistake this was. What an absolute mistake. And what do the Israelis think? What do the Israelis think? An Israeli radio poll released on Thursday found that 28% of the respondents believe Israel won, 24% believed Hezbollah won, and 36% thought neither side came out on top. That's 62% of Israelis that did not think that their government won this war with 30,000 troops and all of this armaments and bombs, and that that Bush rushed to the scene. Precision bombs. What a misnomer that is. Two polls released Wednesday showed similar results as well. And now what's left there? The United States, you know, manufactures and ships to people around the world cluster bombs. So that's what's laying all around Lebanon now. The most dangerous of ordnance littering South Lebanon after 30 days of Israeli bombardment are bomblets spewed from cluster bombs packed into Israeli artillery shells. They say they used them for going after Hezbollah targets, but Hezbollah was integrated into southern Lebanon. So these anti-personnel, these horrible weapons of destruction, were being used and supplied by us, by you and me. This is terrible. Jimmy Carter, actually I should have used this for what Commie said. This said, the U.S. and Israel stand alone. They ask him in this interview, wasn't Israel the first to be attacked? He says, I don't think that Israel has any legal or moral justification for their massive bombing of the entire nation of Lebanon. It's going to take a long time to heal this, and I think a lot of people are going to pay a lot more for it. Let's just hope for peace in the region. All right, Peter Werby here with you on the Mike Malloy Show. Right back to get your calls, 866-303-2270. This is the Air America Radio Network.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to get on the air. Somebody writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, not signed. Good job filling in for Mike. Been using that gas you recommend, which is gasoline Citgo. Citgo now, you're still getting ripped off because the prices are too high. But at least when you buy at Citgo, it's owned by the Venezuelan government. And you know they're not going to some rich stockholder or CEO that gets a $400 million a year retire or $400 million retirement package, but it's going back mostly to the people of Venezuela. So I go to Citgo only. Still hurts, but hey. Also, not to be outdone by Wade from Japan, our faithful listener Jacob in Oulu, Finland, which is above the Arctic Circle. And you, it's Oulu. Finland. Just Google that. What a town. He says, much regards from Oulu, Finland, where we're having an unbelievable summer. Must mean that it's about, you know, more than a month and a half there. But no, the pictures look great. Jacob, I'm going to come visit you one of these days. All right, let's go back to our phones. And it's Tim in San Diego. Tim, hi. It's Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy, and you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Peter.
Sure.
I just want to make a statement here. Hillary is... She is not electable when you look at things in an objective sense. Democrats' only chance when we're up against the hate merchants of the world, the masters at it, the Karl Rose et al., the flip side of the coin for them is really kill them all. Our only hope is to have strong ex-military guys, and that would be Murtha and Conyers with a kick-butt attitude. That's the only way we're going to get back in.
Wait a minute. Conyers is a vet, you sure?
Oh, yes, he's Army.
Huh. Well, but let me say about Conyers, a wonderful congressman. But both those guys and you know, we haven't had an elderly a president in a while. John is pushing some, you know, both those guys are pushing some years.
I would take one John Murtha over 150 George Bushes.
Well, hey, that's an easy deal. And John Conyers...
I would take one John Conyers over 100. This other rascal, Dick Cheney.
Absolutely.
They make more sense.
They
but
do indeed.
The people,
Tim, let me get some other calls because we're running out of time. Here's Haven. Haven, hi, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Calling from North Carolina.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
All right. Hey, as far as, you know, how many countries has Iran wiped off the map?
Iran?
Yeah.
Zero.
In the past 100 years or so,
zero.
As opposed to the number of countries we've wiped off the map, George Bush has, over the past 6 years. I mean, Afghanistan, Iraq, Lebanon, let's not forget Haiti, because they were rebuilding, and we assisted in wiping them off the map, and they tried to wipe Venezuela off the map, but forgot to take the guy's cell phone.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
I mean, I just hope that people are not, you know, deceived. And just use your common sense and just, you know, that's pretty simple.
It is. Well, you know, you would think, Haven, that common sense by its very, the phrase, it's sense which is common, but a lot of people like H.L. Mencken and Mark Twain have made little, little sayings about that it would be as common as it's made out to be. Haven, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Let's see. I got to do the. Here is Stanley in Davie, Florida. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, Stanley.
Hi. I want to thank you and Mike because in this intellectual wilderness we live in South Florida, which is ripe with fascism, our only solace is to listen to you guys at night. And, you know, your comments, it really gives us, we feel that we're still proud to be Americans when we listen to you guys, really.
Well, thank you, Stanley. That is very nice of you to say. And I want to go to some other calls in Florida. Here's Andreas in Miami. You're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, Peter? Listen, you're doing a great job there. I'd like to thank you for that. I'd like to talk a little bit about the economy. I'm glad you brought that up, you know, about this, all of the statistics that economists throw out. But in my opinion, if you have a population where you take three people on average, One of them makes $90,000 a year, and the other two make $5,000 a year. That economy is worse off than an economy where, on average, those three people make about $30,000. Even though the average is higher in the previous economy, the other economy has more wealth distribution.
Sure. And so, we're looking at a wealth distribution that is we got to start going back to the 19th century, and it's continuing apace. We're going to have very soon a income distribution like Guatemala. There's going to be a third of us that are well waged and can buy all the goodies and what have you, and then the other two thirds are going to be scrambling, just like in any third world country.
Absolutely. I also wanted to chime in a little bit about the problem with the IDF, and they're not necessarily they can't really take the moral high ground on human rights offenses because they're guilty of using Palestinians as human shields.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can look that up actually on the BBC website, and, an Israeli group on human rights has actually charged the IDF with using Palestinians as human shields.
Yeah, the Israeli Defense Force. Hi, thank you very much. Appreciate your call, Steve, in Springfield, Massachusetts. Quickly, because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I'm wondering if you have a blind spot about Christian America killing tens of thousands of babies in Baghdad and Fallujah and other Iraqi cities over the past few years.
We're going to have to leave it at that. I'm not quite sure what you mean, but Steve, do me a favor. Maybe call back when I do the show again. I'm going to be doing all of next week for Sam Cedar and the Majority Report, then the week after the Mike Malloy Show. So catch me there. I'm not quite sure what you meant, but, hey, there must have been something behind it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for calling. Have a great weekend. Join me on the Majority Report. Mike will be back at his regular time on Monday. Thanks to everybody at Air America in New York. Peter Werby from Detroit. Saying we'll talk soon.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
"Let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it."
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.